Welcome to Shatteringness, a program devoted to the most important segment of our society, to those who've come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they have become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. If you'd like to participate in our discussion, the number is toll-free. It's 877-300-7645. Action and consequence. It's the thing that we as a world's population have lost the capacity to appreciate, to analyze, to deal with. There was an item that just flashed by in the news from SRN this morning that talked about the consequence of the terrorist takeover of Libya. The terrorists took over Libya because America decided to funnel guns, and not just AK-47s, but anti-aircraft guns, surface-to-air missiles, anti-tank armaments, 50-caliber machine guns, and the like, to the very jihadists that America had opposed in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they, along with American bombing, took over the country from Muammar Gaddafi. And it's turned Libya into the armament headquarters, the gun-running headquarters for Africa, and really for much of the Middle East. And as a direct result of that, you now have Mali run amok with Islamic terrorists, the Central African Republic, the same would be true, and of course Boko Haram in Nigeria. All as a direct result of what's happened in Libya. And it's really only a matter of time before the carnage begins to increase in Egypt, where the dictatorial military regime has imposed a draconian kind of influence on that country. The Muslim Brotherhood will arm itself and there will be war. And yet, you have the likes of President Obama and John McClown from Arizona pretending as if what they did there was good, not bad. Not even willing to admit that it was those weapons that they orchestrated that killed the American ambassador to CIA operatives in Benghazi. It's a tragedy that we don't understand cause and consequence anymore. Now, it's the same story as the fall of Iraq. It was inevitable, of course, with our invasion. You invade a country like Iraq, remove the secular dictator, and you're going to empower a tyranny of the majority. That's what democracy does. And in a climate where there has been a 1,400-year rivalry, bloody, vicious rivalry for control of Islam between Sunni and Shia, in a country divided between Sunni and Shia. And, you know, it's not overwhelmingly Shia. If you take the Kurds out, who are out of the equation, you know, the numbers aren't overwhelming in favor of the Shia, but that's what we unleashed, and we simply gave Iraq to Iran. And that increased Iran's influence in Syria, which caused Saudi Arabia to be alarmed by both of these changes in the political and religious climate of the Middle East, and they began to arm Sunnis in Syria to start a civil war to which the United States played along. And having done so, the weapons that were given to the Sunni militia in Syria were then brought to bear against the Shiite oppressors in Iraq. Cause and consequence. We brought this all on ourselves. There is no solution for it. There's lots of times you can break something and you just can't put the pieces back together. You know, if you drop a glass jar of milk, you aren't ever going to recover that milk. It's filled with glass shards. You can't reconstitute the bottle. We broke Iraq. We broke Syria. We broke Egypt. We broke Libya. There's no way to fix those countries. There's no way to put the jihadist back in the bottle. And we're going to have to endure the mess that we made, and any attempt that we make at this point to right the wrong that we perpetrated, it'll be for naught. There's really only a couple of things that we could do in America to make a difference. And there are things that Americans are incapable of doing. It would begin by saying, we were wrong. You know, it would be just like saying in Vietnam, we were wrong by invading Vietnam. We made a bad situation worse. We sacrificed a lot of American lives without any hope of making the situation better, and ultimately stayed there for political reasons, for the legacies of politicians. And we were wrong. We ought not have gone. We made a bad situation worse. Same thing is true with the invasion of Iraq and of Afghanistan. The same thing is true with the support that we provide to the Pakistanis. The same thing is true with the support we provide to the Egyptians. The same thing is true with the bombing of Libya. Somewhere along the line, we just need to say we were wrong. That there is no way for us to make these situations better, and what we did made them worse. It's really a cathartic experience to admit that you were wrong. I do it all the time. I was once a Christian. I was wrong. I was once a Republican, very active in politics. I was wrong. I was once a patriot and pro-military. I was wrong. I once thought that Paul was inspired by God and that his testimony was credible. I was wrong. I once thought that Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh was Yahweh. And I was wrong. I've been wrong about a lot of things. And to admit that you're wrong and to say, you know, this is why I was wrong, and this is the evidence, and let's go where the evidence leads, it's a very uplifting, liberating experience. Highly recommend it for the American patriots, the Americans who are pro-military and pro-politics and pro-religion, to go down the same path. They'll find it enlightening, uplifting, empowering, liberating. That's the first thing America needs to do, is just to say, we were wrong. We made a bad situation worse. We sacrificed a lot of blood and coin. And we ought not engage again. We can't fix it. We broke it. It is spilled milk, and it's filled with glass shards. There is no way to salvage the milk. There's no way to salvage the glass. We're sorry. That would go a long way. The next thing is to stop lying. Stop pretending that there's a war against terrorism. Stop pretending that Al-Qaeda is the enemy. Start telling the truth about Islam, that it's not a great religion. That it's not peaceful. Stop pretending that there's a mythical thing called a peaceful Muslim. Tell the truth. Explain who Muhammad was. Use the five books that were written within 200 years of Muhammad's death. Cite them in context. And reveal the fact that Muhammad was a ruthless thug, that he was a bloody terrorist, that the Quran is the worst book ever written. Tell the truth. It'll do you good. Shed your ignorance. Tell the truth. Those are really the two things we could do that would make a positive contribution. Both of them are impossible for Americans. We don't much like the truth. We like the myth that America is exceptional. We like the myth that America is victorious. We like the myth that America is free, and we don't like the truth. We like the myth that America is prosperous. Tell Americans they're the most indebted nation on earth, and they cringe. But it's true. Tell Americans that there is no saving its economy. It's just a matter of time before a complete collapse, and I don't want to hear it. Tell Americans that their military has been counterproductive, that it has made bad situations worse, and they will rail against you. But it's true. I mean, look at this issue that Americans are having a conniption fit over the fact that we spent $25 billion training and equipping the Shiite, Iranian-backed Iraqi army. And that in the first two battles, two divisions simply threw off the uniforms that Americans had paid for, abandoned the equipment that Americans had paid for, and rendered their training useless as they fled, giving all of that equipment to ISIS. And now generals are being hauled up in front of politicians saying, how come you could squander our money like that and get us nothing but a counterproductive result of that $25 billion in training? And the answer is that America has never been able to train an invaded country's armed forces. Look what we did in Vietnam and how that turned out for us. Look what's happened in Afghanistan. Look what's happened in Iraq. Sometimes you just need to say, we don't do that very well. In fact, we're really rotten at it. We ought not try to do that again. That is not the answer. Sending in more American troops to train Iraqis isn't the answer. We're lousy at it. We can't do it. We have failed every time. We'll fail again. But at the cost of many more lives. And in this particular case, if we go back in, what are we going to do? We're going to ally ourselves with Shia Islam in opposition to Sunni Islam. Well, that would really be stupid, because there are four times more Sunni Muslims than there are Shia Muslims. And they're better armed to the tune of 10 times the Shia Muslims. That would really be suicidal. Welcome back to Shattering This. I'm going to share a story with you that appeared in two or three regional newspapers. It is not a big story. It's not on the scale of the Syrian war or the fall of Iraq. But it is nonetheless a important story for our time. It pertains to the group of people that, personally, I care the most about. The victim here is near and dear to my heart, more so probably than any other potential victim. The perpetrators, and there are twofold here, one is a retail establishment, Walmart, I think is the worst business in the United States. You know, if I were to list the companies that I think are the most caustic, the most perverted, the most counterproductive in America, Halliburton and Walmart would be one and two. Not sure which one I would rate above the other or below the other, but it'd be Halliburton and Walmart. Walmart is one of the perpetrators. The other is the local police department who attacked a mentally handicapped girl as if they were on a SWAT mission. I'm going to share this story with you because it is what our world is becoming. Belligerent business, belligerent police. Victimized individuals. Wendy Kozma was wrapping up her workday with a client when she got a mind-numbing phone call from her mentally impaired daughter. Mom, this man is trying to take me from Walmart. Wendy feared the worst, a kidnapping. Within minutes, she would learn what was really happening. Her 25-year-old daughter, Jody, who has the mental capacity of an 8-year-old, was being questioned for shoplifting at a Livonia Walmart. Jody had been suspected of stealing hair ties and hiding them in her waistband and purse during a shopping trip with her grandmother. You see, Walmart spies on everything you do. When you walk into a Walmart store, you're being watched. They watched her. They watched her every move. She was there with her grandmother. Her grandmother had the receipts that showed that she had bought those hair ties. Walmart employees wanted nothing to do with it. They shooed her away and wrestled the girl to the ground. They called the police. Now, this is not a $1,000 plasma TV. These are hair ties. They're rubber bands, folks. Pretty little rubber bands. This is a obviously mentally handicapped woman. Got the mentality of an 8-year-old. My brother's mentally handicapped. And I have seen him mistreated as well. If you don't have the capacity to differentiate between a potentially harmful and vicious thief, a little girl who is mentally handicapped, you ought not engage. Jody wound up in handcuffs. She was muscled to the floor by the Livonia police. Walmart and the Livonia police wound up in court. Turned out, Jody had purchased the 30-pack of hair ties. These are rubber bands. A 30-pack of rubber bands, folks. What do they cost? 39 cents? And stickers that day, because they made her happy. She had the receipt as proof. The suspicious bulge in her waistband was simply her cell phone. In a civil rights lawsuit unfolding in U.S. District Court, Wendy and John Cosma, her mother and father, are suing the retail giant and the Livonia police, and they should, alleging that they used excessive force on their daughter and they scared the emotionally distraught girl nearly to death. Jody had grown up learning to trust the cops. That's what her mother said. You know, if you ever have a problem, if somebody is taking advantage of you, turn to the police. Now she's terrified of them, as she ought to be. Quote, if she were ever lost or stranded, we always taught her to turn to and look to the police. All of that has been completely destroyed, Wendy Cosma said in an interview with the Free Press. I know that this has traumatized her. I want it to go away. We're going to return to this story because it tells us a great deal about the decay of our society, our businesses, and our judicial system. It has been nearly 2 years since Jody was arrested for being in a Walmart, being spied on in a Walmart. She wasn't arrested because she had stolen hair twisty ties and some colorful stickers. She had bought them. She wasn't arrested because she was alone there and abandoned. Her grandmother was with her. She was arrested because she was spied on, and everybody up and down the chain of command at Walmart and with the police acted badly, inappropriately. And even today, they can't say they were wrong. Her parents, of course, are still reeling. They should be. They want an apology from Walmart and the Livonia police, and they're entitled to one. But guess what? Neither are willing to apologize. Records show that the Livonia police dispatched 4 officers to the scene that day in a SWAT-like approach, parking their cruisers on the sidewalk directly in front of the front doors, running into the Walmart and tackling this girl and handcuffing her, pressing her into the floor of the store. For what? She had done nothing wrong. Among the lawsuit claims is the is that store security and the police were repeatedly told by family that Jody was special needs. She's mentally handicapped. But they failed to treat her accordingly, instead traumatized her when she didn't have the mental capacity to understand what was going on. Jody simply wants an apology, a bouquet of flowers. That's what apologetic people do, she told her parents. Her parents want an apology, too, along with an unspecified financial damage and assurance that the police and the store will follow appropriate procedures in the future. And that's the only way to get either of their attention. The Cosmas filed their lawsuit in May in Wayne County's Circuit Court, but Walmart requested on June 9th that the case be moved to a federal court. Oh, yeah, we don't want the local community determining what happens at what's appropriate in a local store. Now, move it to federal court. Alleging that the officers then, initially, the Cosmos filed a citizen's complaint with the Livonia Police Department, alleging the officers used excessive force on their daughter and were unprofessional. They filed it the same day of the incident on August 3rd of 2012, nearly 2 years ago. The Livonia Police Department declined comment, but according, and this is the Detroit paper that I'm reading this from, but according to a letter they sent to the Cosmos, they denied any wrongdoing. Quote, in order to make the situation safe for all parties involved. Safe for all parties involved? You've got a handicapped girl with twisty ties. Safe for all parties involved. You dispatched four cruisers. They rushed into the store as if they were a SWAT team. Safe for all parties involved, the decision was made to handcuff your daughter, who was initially compliant, but then began to struggle. No kidding. And that's the problem, folks. The police act in a belligerent way. They're aggressive. They're authoritarian. They think they're entitled to have you lay down face first, face in the dirt, hands behind your back, and that they can handcuff you and treat you brutally. That an explanation is never good enough. That they can draw their guns on you, but you can't respond. They can strike you, but you can't respond. They can tell you that your freedoms are now arrested and that you have to submit to them, but they're unwilling to listen to you. We have become a police state. It is out of control. This says that because she was initially compliant, but then began to struggle. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you protest that, wait a minute, you have no right to handcuff me. You have no right to tackle me. You have no right to even accuse me of anything. Get away from me. You want to talk to me, fine. But you have no right to touch me. It's criminal. And it's being perpetrated by the police, and it's not isolated here. Becoming pervasive. This quote says, the officers used the minimum amount of force necessary to gain control and handcuffed her. Why did they need to gain control of her? Was she a threat to someone? Did she have a gun? Did she have a knife? No. She had a cell phone and some twisty ties. Was she threatening to harm anyone? No. She was walking around the store, having a good old time with her grandmother. Why did they need to use any force to gain control and handcuff her? Or is the whole activity now in America is that you have no freedoms anymore. Your freedom is now being dispatched and controlled by the government. They wanted to gain control over her, and they did. But that's wholly inappropriate in the America I used to know. They had no right to gain control over her. They had no right to touch her. They had no right to handcuff her. They had no right to tackle her. They had no right to have four officers to run after her and scare her to death. No one had any right to do any of those things. And yet they put this in writing. There was no indication that your daughter was injured when she was detained, the Livonia Police Lieutenant Francis Donnelly wrote in the September 18, 2012 letter. You know, to say that I despise Francis Donnelly would be way too kind. Where in the world is your head, pal? I have reviewed both the video and the audio recordings of the incident and find no evidence of unprofessional behavior or excessive force on the part of our officers. Based upon this investigation, I have determined that your complaint against our officers is unfounded, end quote. So, based upon the police handbook, you can dispatch four cruisers. They can run into a store. They can slam a young girl to the ground. They can handcuff her. They can detain her. They can use whatever force they wish against her when she has done absolutely nothing wrong. They can refuse to listen to her grandmother who's saying, she bought them. Here's the receipt. They can refuse to listen to her when she said she did nothing wrong. They can refuse to listen, and they can be aggressive. I see nothing wrong with that. That's the police way. Not in the America I used to know, but in the America that exists today. Walmart, which declined comment on the specifics of the lawsuit, issues its statement, quote, first and foremost, a cornerstone at Walmart is respect for an individual. Oh, that's a lie. That is an absolute lie. Walmart is extraordinarily abusive as a company of its employees and of its customers. We expect all of our customers to be treated with dignity and respect. That's why you were spying on this girl. That's why when this girl bought hair twisty ties and stickers from your store, you decided to call the police on her. That's a wonderful way to show respect, Walmart. Nicely done. And when you were wrong, you didn't even have the dignity to compensate this girl for her trauma, to apologize, to send her flowers, to admit that you were wrong. No. What you did is lies. What you do best, Walmart. Based on the information we have, we believe that our associates acted appropriately and followed protocol. Yes, according to Walmart, it is appropriate for Walmart to spy on all of its customers. And then it is appropriate for them to accost them. It is appropriate for them to accuse them of what they have not done. It is appropriate for them to call the police on them when they purchase twisty ties and stickers. It's appropriate not to listen to a grandmother of a mentally handicapped young woman when she says, here's the receipt. You know, if she had stolen the twisty ties, which she didn't do, and that she had confiscated 39 cents worth of store merchandise, this would have been grossly inappropriate. Even if she wasn't mentally handicapped. And yet neither the store, giant Walmart, nor the police department have the capacity to acknowledge that they were wrong. That's what's wrong with America. Wendy Kuzma tells a different story. Here, according to COSMA, a police incident report and surveillance video obtained by the Free Press, this is what happened to that today. Jody, who was born with a condition that deprived her brain of oxygen, left her mentally impaired. That's, by the way, what happened to my brother. They had gone on a shopping trip to Walmart with her grandmother. After checking out, two plain clothes Walmart security officers surrounded Jody in the lobby and accused her of stealing merchandise. Unbeknownst to Jody, she was being monitored in the store by a surveillance camera operator who said that she had footage of Jody picking up the hair pieces and concealing them in her purse or in her waistband. We will continue with this story when Shattering Myths continues after the break. And indeed, I'm emotional here because I used to love my country. I don't anymore. I feel sorry for this little girl. I feel sorry for us. Yes, unbeknownst to this mentally handicapped girl, she was being monitored in the store by surveillance camera operators who said that they had footage of Jody picking up hair pieces and concealing them in her purse or in her waistband, which is why after they checked out, two Walmart security officers surrounded the mentally handicapped girl and accused her of stealing. When store security stopped Jody, she became afraid and upset. As I'll tell you what, I have my mental faculties. I'd be upset too. I wouldn't be afraid, but I would absolutely be upset. In fact, I would tongue lash them. The grandmother informed the security team that Jody is mentally challenged and would not intentionally steal. That didn't register with them. She then said that, oh, if you want to know about the hair ties, here's the receipt for them. And offered the receipt to the Walmart security personnel, proving that her granddaughter had purchased them, but the security team wouldn't bother to listen to her. No. Oh, they were deputized by Walmart. They were going to be belligerent, and they were. Damn the facts, we don't care. They wouldn't listen to her. They wouldn't even look at the receipt. And they wouldn't let the grandmother calm her granddaughter down. Jody, meanwhile, had called her mom, who immediately headed to Walmart. By that time, the time the mom had arrived, the police were there. According to the police incident report, Jody was screaming. She was crying at the top of her lungs. A sergeant asked Jody to put her hands behind her back so that he could confirm if the bulge in her waistband was a weapon, a cell phone, or stolen merchandise. Then came the handcuffs. Jody was pulled away and began screaming, reaching for her mother. She was placed against a wall. Two officers muscled Jody to the ground and handcuffed her from behind her back. And they took her to a private police office and started questioning her, interrogating her. Imagine. And through all of this, the police department and Walmart claimed that they acted appropriately. The police never once considered the fact that this is a little girl. They don't need to arrest her. They don't need to handcuff her. They don't need to push her against the wall. Why not just listen to the grandmother and say, here's the receipt for the 39 cents worth of twisty ties? She continued to say that she didn't steal anything. When her mom showed up, She tried to enter the interrogation room, but the police stopped her. Good God, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with my country? After pleading and threatening a lawsuit, she got in. The image of her catatonic, handcuffed daughter broke her heart. I said, Jody, it's okay, Mom's here. No, it wasn't okay. Combs, I recalled through the tears, noting her daughter's, that nothing she said assured her daughter that she was fine. During questioning, an officer threatened to conduct a body search. Oh, these guys are perverted. But Cosima's mom intervened and searched her daughter instead. She lifted her shirt, lifted her pant legs. She opened her waistband. Nothing was there. She emptied the contents of her purse. No stolen goods were inside. The police let her go. Jody left the store in tears. She has not been to Walmart since. She gets frazzled every time she sees a Walmart commercial or a Walmart truck on the highway. How did it get to that? Her mom said. She realized that Walmart and the police escalated a situation by not letting her daughter calm down by handcuffing her. They overreacted, according to a former police officer, in a goonish way. We'll be back.